G'day there, folks. Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello. Welcome back, perhaps. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. It's men's breakfast time again. Yep, that favourite day, that favourite morning on the calendar here at my local church where we get all of the guys together, get to have a beautiful feast, you know, all that good food that our wives just love us having. But more importantly, we get fellowship. That beautiful truth that builds unity within the church. And of course, we get to feed on the Word of God, the bread of life. Well, as I said, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join with me, whether you were there with us on the Saturday and you're doing a recap or perhaps through work, other commitments, couldn't make it. I'm really pleased you are here. Grab your Bible for me. Would you mind just one moment? Open up to Psalm 133. We're going to pick up just quickly from where we left off last month. And the topic for last month was unity. That's what we were talking about, that beautiful unity between our brothers and, of course, sisters in Christ. And here we see one of many, but I think probably the most beautiful illustration. We won't be reading through the whole psalm. If you're not familiar, go back and do that in your own time. But let me just read verse 1 of Psalm 133. Behold. Now this is David, King David writing. We believe this was written after all the troubles. And he writes now, going, behold, take note, have a look and see how good, he says, how pleasant, he says, it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. And if you know anything about David and his story, and if you've been in the Lord in church any length of time, you know just how good it is when unity reigns. And when that beautiful harmony rules in our lives and between us, between leadership and team, between team and members and the new folks coming in, and they see this, how good, how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. Yes. But if you've been around any length of time also, and you know of King David's story, you know how much trouble, how hard it is when disunity, when disharmony, when division comes into the church. Yes? Yes. Well, today, I want to take this just to the next step and look specifically at unity, but more importantly, where? In fellowship. And so turn, if you would, back a few pages, quite a few, into the book of Deuteronomy. I want to have a look at Deuteronomy chapter 16. And again, time does not allow for me to go through all of this. I'm hoping here in the video I can either paste all of the key scriptures that we'll be talking about today underneath in the description here on YouTube, or a link to a PDF, one or the other, whichever works best. But in Deuteronomy chapter 16, ironically, verse 16 makes it kind of easy to remember. We see here instruction given from the Lord to the men. This is why I'm talking here, men's ministry, men's breakfast, and so on. Verse 16 of Deuteronomy 16. Have a listen to this. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. Originally the tabernacle, then the temple in Jerusalem. And he gives the 3 things. Number 1, the feast of unleavened bread. Now we would know that as Passover, Pesach. He gives number 2, the feast of weeks. We would know that as Pentecost or Shavuot. And then number 3, the feast of tabernacles, which we would know either as tabernacles or booths, Sukkot. And this is interesting. There's an instruction when you come together for this. He says, and they, the men, shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Here's the reason why, and I love this, verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Now, I love this. This is the foundation for offering from our heart, from the blessing which the Lord has given us. I'm self-employed in my business. I praise God that our needs are met. And then from time to time, there is an overflow and we are able to give and to help more others who have needs that I have had myself in the past, which the Lord has filled either through himself or through others. But I look at this. And I go, three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place. Wait, what? Why? Why? What's the purpose of it? There's got to be a reason for it. Well, the reason, as we're going to explore today, obviously, or I wouldn't be bringing it up, is I want to look at the Old Testament roots in New Testament fellowship. See, I don't know if you knew this or not, and this is a key thing. If you're taking notes, jot this down. The New Testament church didn't actually invent fellowship, not from scratch. No, what we did is it inherited, or it grew from a pattern of long-established worship, care, and joy. These three things. This is the fellowship that we now get to enjoy. And in our church here locally, I would assume it's fairly similar. It has been for others I've been into the past, but most likely, most at least the Western world, certainly we have, church part one. That's the corporate worship. There's a message. There's corporate prayer and so on. And then we have church part two. Part two, we go to the kitchen, we go to the cafe, we get to share lunch, a meal, whatever it might be, and continue the fellowship further in. And of course, during the week, there are different small groups or connect groups or home groups, whatever it is you call it where you are. And this is more opportunity to do these things. And previous Sunday, one of our pastors sharing on this specifically said, we can also add to that a shared meal, perhaps. A coffee catch-up with someone during the week, just the giving of time. These things express fellowship and show the actions of fellowship throughout our days, throughout our weeks, and so on. So as we go through today's message, three things. It's always about three things because I think three things are easy to remember, yeah? Three things that strengthen fellowship. Jot these down if you're taking notes. Number one, remembering our redemption. Number two, sharing God's provision. And number three, rejoicing together. Here's the thing. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Now, each of these different festivals, they all have a story to be told. Each of these stories has an application that we can take now, even now, thousands of years later. And today I'm going to go through just briefly each of these three different things and we'll take a closer look. Now, if this is new for you, which it certainly may be for some, it's going to seem like a lot of information. Look, we'll summarize things as we get to the end, no problem. But it's going to see possibly overload. But I want you to just take a breath. Take your time. Understand this. These are the foundations of our fellowship that I'm looking to explore with you to help you deepen your faith and your roots in Christ through the Word, looking at it from that point of view. So let's get started. Number one, Passover. I'm just going to grab some water. One moment. Passover, fellowship around shared redemption. Probably the best way that I can actually explain Passover. It is an annual memorial, okay, an annual memorial, a remembering of God's rescue from his people, from the children of Israel, from slavery in Egypt, where it says, and you may know the story, of course, where the blood of the lamb was placed on the doorpost, the lintel, and the Lord, the judgment passed over those people who were protected by the lamb's blood. You can read more in Exodus chapter 2, I think it is, 12. And every single year, Passover was remembered with a very special meal with the family coming together called the Passover Seder. And in it, there were many, many different elements. I don't have time to explain them today. I hope we can one day. But the two main elements were, obviously, lamb and also unleavened bread. And the whole ceremony, if I can say this, meal/ceremony, was designed to trigger questions from the children, because they would do this from birth as their parents, grandparents would be taking the family through. And so over time, every single year, they would be doing this. And I have a note here from Exodus chapter 12, instruction giving such, says, "It shall be when your children say to you, 'Well, what do you mean by this, Papa? What does this mean?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.'" And the key emphasis here in all of this, it's an annual remembrance, an annual reset, if I can say it that way, where they would be reminded of their salvation, of their people's salvation in that time, but without forgetting the why. And for us, why? Why they? Why we belong to the Lord? We might say a similar thing, which we see, of course, through communion. And the fulfillment for us as a Christian was it pointed, of course, towards Christ, our Passover lamb. We see this in Scripture many times. For those of you taking notes, 1 Corinthians 5:7. That's where you want to go to start. So how does it look? I want to do this as we're going through, because it's a lot of stuff, I get it. Fellowship then, what did it look like then? Well, it united the households around this one shared rescue story, and then this one covenant identity. How does it look now then for us? What do we do with this? Well, it should unite us, brothers and sisters in Christ, around one shared story of redemption and rescue. What does that sound like? Yes, the gospel. That's it. One story, one salvation, one faith. That's what Passover brings to us now as we remember. And the sort of the hook that ties it all together. And I love this. I'm going to just read, I think, first, then we'll explain. Turn to 1 Corinthians for me, would you? Chapter 5. We need to remember Passover, purging the leaven, the leavened bread, and not within ourselves tolerate any sin privately while fellowshipping publicly. Had a great question from someone just this morning. A new person attending the church, come from a very legalistic church recently. Fantastic question. And they wanted to know around communion. You know, do I have to be baptized here in this church before I take communion? Praise God, no. Jesus has done the work at the cross. Jesus has done the work at the cross. He hung there at the end. It is finished. It's by faith we are saved. Grace through our faith, not of works. Let me read 1 Corinthians 5, chapter verses 7 and 8. Therefore, Paul writing, he says, "Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened." What? This is odd. "Indeed," he says, "Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast." Not what? Sorry, Paul? Let us keep the feast? Hang on a minute. "Not with old leaven, but with the nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness." Okay. So he's talking about a heart's attitude here, not an actual thing. But he says, "with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Ah. So what he's actually talking about here, it's a curious verse just to pull out there on its own, but relevant for today. He's specifically dealing with tolerated sin within the church of that time, that community, amongst them, which is a conversation for another time. We may come back to it another day. But in it, I ask you this question. What sin do you tolerate in your life? What's the line for you? Don't cross over that line. What do you tolerate in your life? I'd like you to give some thought to that. Because as if we were to go back to Deuteronomy 16 and dig in a little deeper, we will see that it tells of their haste as they left Egypt. And in doing so, they only left with the unleavened bread, not yet having had time to rise. And one of the things which is done during the Passover Seder right up front is the father would set about, "Children, go find the leavened bread and yeet it outside." Okay, I've got teenagers. I should probably say, grab the leavened bread and throw it out the window. Toss it out the door. And the children would run around and they would search everywhere and they would find this leavened bread and they would throw it outside. And I read from 1 Corinthians 5 because it's telling us to do the same thing with the sin in our lives. See, Passover is one of the most beautiful and magnificent feasts and festivals on the Jewish calendar. And every single thing in it points to Christ and how we are to live in, abide in Him. Let me give you some examples, if I can, of this fellowship mindset that was a part of the community in this time, Passover. If we think the difference between membership, church membership, and brotherhood, okay, we look at it from this. One watches, the member, the other carries, the brother. I jot down some examples from literally just the past 3 weeks here, men which I've spoken to in our church. Marriage trouble. What if you're struggling in your marriage? What if things aren't going right? Well, membership mindset says, that's tough, brother, I'll pray for you. Thoughts and prayers. Brotherhood says, wow, hey, let's catch up for a cuppa. Let's catch up for a meal. Let's sit down. Let's talk it through. Let's pray together. Let's see that you're getting some help. That's brotherhood mindset. What about another guy? Lost your job. Lost your business. Membership mindset says, wow, doing it tough. All right. Hang in there, brother. Brotherhood mindset says, hey, that's not good. Let's catch up. Let's sit down. Let's make sure you've got a good resume written out. I've got a couple of friends who own businesses. Let me give them a call. Okay? All of these different things. Let's make sure you're okay. We can help. We can help cover meals for 2 weeks. If you're doing it tough, no problem. We can do. That's brotherhood mindset. How about this one? I've seen this one before. Oh, too often. Some guy just disappears from church. Membership mindset says, oh, maybe they're just busy. Brotherhood mindset says, hey, who's got his number? I need to give him a call. And if he doesn't answer, hey, who knows where he lives? I need to go see him, knock on the door, make sure he's okay. Brotherhood mindset. This is fellowship. This, we don't want the membership mindset. Now we've got to look at how we can build this. And this applies to everything for this whole message, for all three different ones. I'm spending a bit more time here. How do we build this type of brotherhood fellowship between us? Simply this, Passover shows us that if we share our testimony, an honest rescue story with our brothers, how we were rescued from sin and the change that has come with the rescue, not just small talk, this is fellowship. All right, number two, Pentecost. My note for Pentecost, it illustrates that grateful people become generous people. If you want to read further, Exodus chapter 12. So Pentecost, 7 weeks after Passover, and it's known as the Feast of Weeks for these seven different weeks. It's the harvest festival where people would bring the first fruits of the harvest. And of course, the children of Israel, being primarily an agrarian society and living off the land in that matter, they would bring, as we read earlier, as the Lord had blessed. And the core lesson for them here to be reminded of time and time and time again was the simple fact that their work, that their income, that these were actually gifts from the Lord. He is their and our what? Provider. And that gratitude should become worship through this, not from pride. Hey, I did a good job. Boom, my business is awesome. I'm good. Pat yourself on the back and so on. No, wrong. He is our provider, our Lord, our God, our King. And there was a covenant sort of test added in there. And this, I love this. I've made note. I want you to make note too also. It was written in the instructions specifically for Pentecost, actually also for Tabernacles, we'll see in a moment, is that would the joy that you were sharing was not meant to be kept to yourself. There were specific instructions to also bring to include the Levite, those from the tribe of Levi, because they weren't given an allotment of land. They couldn't bring the first fruits because their job was to serve in the temple, the tabernacle, and the ministry, so to speak, but also to bring the sojourner, the one who was just passing through but with you for the time, to bring the fatherless, to bring the widow, to share the joy and not be selfish with the provision which the Lord has given you. That's what Pentecost is all about. And we see, of course, the New Testament fulfillment where the Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And the verse that we all read, if we're doing anything on fellowship, is from Acts 2, 42, paraphrasing now through to verse 45. For time's sake, they continued steadfastly. Here it is, in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided among them all as anyone had need. Oh, wow. But I look at that and I find myself going, but why? Why? Why did they do that? Because that was the intended pattern from the beginning. And at this point of time, as a people, they'd already been doing it for some, 1,200 years, every single year, every generation. And so when the Holy Spirit joined in there and was poured out at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, this beautiful new covenant community, instantly the moral shape appeared. Right here, right there. And they just had all things in common, it says. And that they divided amongst all, it says, as anyone had need. And then later on, Luke writing this says, neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed were of his own. And the outcome of that was need was met within the body. Praise the Lord. And so fellowship then. This is how it looked. Fellowship then at Pentecost. Israel, the men came bringing with them whomever they could. They brought the first fruits and free will offerings as the Lord blessed, it says, turning gratitude into open-handed giving. And the whole community rejoiced together. So Passover for the family. Pentecost, the community together. And we need to remember this fellowship generosity. If you were to read through, as I have done, a quick scan, Luke and Acts, Luke writing all of them, there's about 25 different times where this joyful generosity is produced through and from fellowship. It's the difference, I think, if I try and illustrate it in today's pattern now. It's not forced, we want you to stick around. No, it's not that. And hey, look, nothing wrong with church part two and small groups and home groups and stuff, but it's not forced. It's if a guy's moving house. It's the difference between, hey, let me know if you need anything, to I'm coming around at 9, I'm bringing the trailer, how can I help? I'll be there. Okay? It's putting together a meal train for a family that's struggling after a man has lost and that provision from the job is gone. It's putting it together. It's not bearing the burden yourself. It's bringing others together. It's helping out on a roster of church lawns as we have and are putting together right now, looking for 6 guys, got 4, still want 2 more. We share the burden along the way. But in order to do that, we need to be on the lookout, literally, for real needs. And then we need to look for a way to meet them, whether it's time, whether it's labor, whether it's money. And we need to do it quietly, we need to do it quickly, and we need to do it without the fanfare. That's key. All right, number 3, tabernacles. Tabernacles is where I would say the pilgrim people, they hold life loosely, but hold their brothers closely. pilgrim people hold life loosely, but hold the brothers closely. And I read from the very beginning at Psalm 133, one of 15 psalms known as the Songs of Ascent. And as they would come from all around the different tribes originally, or then later times as they would come to Jerusalem up these hills, the Songs of Ascent, and all of these pilgrims from all different places. And so what was happening here with the Feast of Tabernacles, or Booths, was they would build for themselves, once they got there, they would build this temporary shelter and they would live in it for 7 days. And in these 7 days, they would take time to remember and share the stories of the times gone past. This was the end of harvest, Thanksgiving. So we have Pentecost, the beginning of the harvest, first fruits, and then we have Tabernacles, the end of the harvest. And they would rejoice in God's provision for the year. And I love it because once again, they were commanded that the joy was not meant to be private. It was to be shared, the Levite and those in need as well. And you can read all of this in the scripture. See the notes below. I hope you will. And the key reminder for us really is this, that we too are pilgrims. Now, what does that remind you of? Let me just quickly read what I have here. If I can just get these pages sorted out. What does this remind you of? Can you read that just there? Though we live in this present earthly house, a tent, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. For our citizenship, what? Our citizenship is in heaven, yes, from which we eagerly await now for the Savior. Therefore, seek things above. Set our minds on things above, knowing that our life is hidden in Christ. One of the things that I like to do in Scripture as I'm studying it is if I see a principle taught, which I believe this is what I'm seeing here, do we see it in the Old Testament? Does Jesus also speak of it? Do we see it taught in the New Testament letters as well? And the fact that we are pilgrims here too, just as the children of Israel were during those 40 years in the wilderness, pilgrims moving from this place to next. It wasn't their home, and they have a festival to remind them of God's incredible provision through this time, that He sustained them. And we see in all of this incredible provision, the manna and the quail not allowing them to starve. We see the water and the rock not allowing them to thirst. We see God's incredible forbearance holding back judgment, not destroying them, but allowing a generation to come through. How much more beautiful now for us. So what did it look like back then? Simply this: Israel rejoiced that as a traveling people under God's faithful provision, He looked after them. And now for us in the church, we must remember, we cannot forget that church life, it's shared pilgrimage, folks, okay? The scripture tells us in Romans 12 that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. We are to weep with those who weep. This is a shared pilgrimage. And as they did, father, grandfather to son, father to son, then they would share the stories. And for us, grief and hardship, it's a real thing. It really is. And so we need to be able to not just give a lecture, but just be in presence with our brothers going through these things. We need to listen. We need to pray. We need to keep showing up. And we need to desire to do such. So I ask a question for you, perhaps. Give thought, pray about this. One man. Who is that one man that you can just walk alongside with for a month? Weekly check-ins, prayer, practical help where needed. One man, who can you help? This is the essence of fellowship. And my prayer is that we would have here in the men's group a culture that shifts from just, weekend stories, hunting, shooting, fishing, whatever, to, hey, how are you doing? And that you'd answer, and we would listen. That is my prayer. But let's wrap it up. The point is this. It's not that we need to recreate the feast today. We don't. It's not that, but we do need to recover God's wisdom behind them. We cannot let it go. The New Testament church, it didn't invent fellowship. We've made it into a thing following paperwork and procedures and programs. It's not meant to be that. It's meant to be this inherited pattern which we've just briefly looked at today. It's God gathering his people. It's God shaping their hearts and teaching them how to live around him, our shared redemption. And Passover reminds us exactly of that. That fellowship is strongest when we remember our shared rescue. I think I like that word even better. And that we don't just go from church to church, but that we find ourselves in a place, in a position, and we become grounded. And we remember and we talk and we share that we are saved by grace, by the same Lord, from the same judgment into the same family. This is Passover. This is what it shows us. And Pentecost, well, it reminds us that genuine fellowship, it's not complete if it's only words. Gratitude becomes generosity. Spiritual unity becomes practical care. This is the key and the pattern that we have inherited that I honestly think we've somewhat lost. And then Tabernacles reminds us that we are too, but pilgrims, that this is not our home, that comfort is temporary, that trials are real, and that is exactly, precisely why we need each other. Guys, listen carefully, why we need each other. I've seen too many men fall from the faith because they allowed themselves to be isolated. We don't need quick speeches, but we absolutely need a steady, consistent, determined presence in each other's lives. Listen, prayer and perseverance together. We are the leaders of the family. They will follow where we go. Closing thought. If fellowship, if it never moves beyond this sort of general banter and, you know, fishing, shooting, hunting stories, if it never moves just beyond attendance because there's something on and we need to go, we're going to miss what God has intended for us through fellowship. But if we let the Lord gather us, if we let the Lord make us grateful and keep us grounded, and having a man come alongside who can do that, you know we're good at it, then fellowship becomes more than just a thing that we do. It becomes a life that we live. This is what this was about. Read the stories, folks. Read them. Praise God. This is what he's brought us into. Us now, citizens of heaven, grafted into Israel. Israel shown here, the covenant way of life. All right, guys, God bless. Thank you so much for staying with me through the whole time. Gone just a fraction over time. I pray for you. I pray for the week coming. I pray for peace. I pray for harmony. I pray for unity. And I pray that a heart for fellowship will just grow within you, that you would seek the Lord and say, Lord, how can I? Who do I? Who do I talk to? How can I help? Pray your blessing, Father, on their life. In Jesus' name. Amen.